Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What I'm tending to get now is Viking executions.
What?
There's a scene that these two pretty ladies are going to fight. One has a sword and the other one's carrying the sword, who looks like a princess. And then she says, "Then let me pass." And she lets it pass, and then the other lady shoots her in the back with an arrow. The stomach bone's connected to the crotch bone, and the crotch bone's connected to the wiener bone. The wiener bone, when you lose...
That's not how the song goes.
When the stomach bone's connected to the crotch bone, and the crotch bone's connected to the wiener bone.
You get your... Is it Medicare that you're waiting for? Is that what happens?
I'm waiting for my whole new insurance thing, which includes that.
June 1st is when it kicks in?
June 1, yes.
That's a Saturday, you know.
You know,
25 days, by the way.
25 days to stay alive.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Happy to have you along, everybody. Along. I hate that.
Yeah, what are you
I've
doing?
I've always hated that. I don't know.
Come along.
Happy to have you along. Before we start with anything on the show today, we have an announcement regarding, and I'm tired of saying big announcements. We're announcers. We're going to have announcements.
Right. This is what it's you tune
good
in for.
It's a good announcement. We're
okay, very
about
good.
This. It's the return of the TMOS cocktail party. Non-alcoholic cocktail for Rob Spiewak, which he's cool with.
100%.
And by the way, which we discussed long before we decided to do it.
Yeah.
It's been 3.5. Has it really been 3.5 long
December
years?
Of 2020.
So kind of like we did one and then the S hit the fan, right?
Yeah. The last one, Mike, if you want to put it in perspective, is the one with Mark Miller. He did the first one with us, remember? And then he guested with us.
And so in that time, I had a rave out and had him on the show to pick on me and then had him back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 3.5 long years. Things have changed, so how about some old-fashioned normalcy? It's the return of the TMOS cocktail party this Saturday, May 11th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're all meeting up on YouTube. This is an additional free live streaming show for everybody, so please arrive thirsty. Mike, Rob, Oz, and a few surprise guests, plus new ways to get involved directly with the show, and introducing... Mike's Birdie Juice. You'll have to tune in to find out the explanation of that.
Exactly.
I might have referenced Birdie Juice before, but I think anybody that knows
Birdie Juice.
Just go to YouTube. That's our YouTube page.
That's
click
easy.
On the live tab and turn your notification bell on. Ring that bell. The return of the TMOS cocktail party. It's about goddamn time.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So we're looking forward to that.
Birdie Juice. Yeah.
And it's not all about it's not about exclusively the alcohol, but, you know, and then I look forward to you being the stable one for a change.
Mike, this to me suggests a broadcast idea that was floated many years ago that never caught on because truly I think it was ahead of its time. And this was when we were on terrestrial radio and we had a little sub program that ran once called Evenings with Mike O'Mara. And Evenings with Mike O'Mara had a different feel. There was less urgency, more conversational, kind of like Playboy After Dark. And this is the mood we're going to bring.
Playboy After Dark, which would be make sense to how many people in our listening
Six
audience?
People understand Playboy After Dark, but I want people to know what it is. It's like a relaxed evening cocktail party feel. We're all still there, but I think it comes with a slice of TMOS that you don't get in the normal show.
Well, yeah, it does. And, at least on my end, it'll be fueled a little bit. And, it's going to be something different. It's been a hell of a ride the last 2 years. It's been craziness.
Yeah. You know, we probably needed a couple of them over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Might have been helpful, but it is what it is. And I think that you move forward. about you know, everything, and we we're excited. And when there's turnover and new people come in, new ideas get thrown out there, and then old ideas get rehashed. And I'm excited about it. So we will see you this coming Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern, on our YouTube channel. And it's a great new utilization of our YouTube channel, and I'm excited about it. So I talked yesterday about the show that I'm watching now and really getting into the weeds on, a Netflix series that's very, very popular called Three Body Problem.
You are super sci-fi. Hip. You are so hip, because I asked Robert about it, my son, yeah, and he's 21, and I said, what about this three-body problem? He says, oh, I've heard great things about it, but I haven't gotten to it yet. So you are way ahead of the curve on this one.
It is anything. I feel the same way about music, about food, about it. I don't mind anything if it's done really, really well, and this is just really well-crafted. It's a crafted show. This is a bit of a spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear it and you haven't watched it yet, but it's not going to, you don't know what the outcome is going to be yet. Nobody knows. I'm only halfway into it. But during the course of this, it's about the general theme of the show is about communicating with people from other worlds, of extraterrestrials. That's really what it's about.
I meant to ask one question yesterday.
Yes.
Is it set in the present time or in the future?
It is a flashback, hop all over.
Okay. All right.
60s, no linear timeline. 70s, okay. 80s, 90s, every
even the boss?
Every decade. I think every they recommend from the 60s, almost every decade has been referenced.
Cool.
Some way in this, which makes it epic in its scope, because they are really being true to the look of
right.
these people when they come from different decades. So Three Body Problem is something that, as far as sci-fi, and I don't know anything about science fiction as far as the details of protons and light years and galaxies, but I sure am fascinated watching them weave the tale. And of course, it's artistic license and lots of interesting things happen. And I also believe that the progress, one of the references they make is the progress that we've made between how long it took to get from the Stone Age to the advent of fire to mathematics mm-hmm. to computer age to industrial age. They do that. They spend a lot of time. These are some bright people that put this together. And now, listen, you can appear bright if you're writing a fictitious story. But speaking of fictitious story,
yes,
there is a scene, and this is the spoiler alert. Turn this down if you don't want it, because it's kind of an important, I think it's an
advanced,
important moment.
Yeah, advanced.
There is a scene
seconds.
Where obviously this individual is communicating with people from far away in the galaxies.
Okay.
In the other galaxies.
That you can.
And the subject of what he's reading comes up, and he's reading like a fairy tale to give them just an idea of what we're all about. And then the subject of dishonesty comes up, and the entity cannot understand that what the concept of lying is.
Okay.
And the entity cannot process the lying. And so I think it's the Little Red Riding Hood story, and the entity is trying to process the idea of the big bad wolf dressing up like the grandmother, and it's just fascinating, and it got me thinking about us as a species. And how much we human beings rely on bull s.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say the word.
Yeah.
Maybe someday I'll be able to say it. But we really, when you think of human beings, it got me really thinking, my God, we are in every aspect to a degree, we have BS.
There was
how much
comic.
Stuff do we do? Go
Mike,
ahead.
There was a stand-up comic that, and I wish I knew who it was, that talked about, he was raising a child, and the child was about 2.5, and he watched the child tell his first lie and realize what was going on. And it was to the effect of who spilled this or who wrote on the wall. And the kid said, it wasn't me. even though he was standing there with a crayon. And he said he watched the child realize he could say something that wasn't true and ostensibly get away with it. So it's almost built into us that, you know, that's what we do, you know?
And I just, the deep thinkers that write this material, I've always said that if I come out of a movie, that I either want two things. I either want to laugh my ass off and turn my brain off, or I want to watch a movie that makes me think. Those are the two kind of movies that I like. This is a television series that makes me think, because I thought about the human condition, and it is the... would you agree? Do you think it's a stretch for me to say it's the centerpiece of being human? Because it very well... Even when you're talking about, and I don't want to offend people, even when you're talking about organized religion,
right?
There is no proof. It's they can call it faith, but imagine the license that can be taken by human beings when it comes to faith, and we see it all the time.
I think it's a stretch to confuse faith with lying. I think lying has the indication of,
but it's not. It's not verified. We don't know if it's true or not.
But because if it's not true or not, it's a belief and not a lie. You know, if they knew there was nothing going on.
I don't want to get you confused about lying. I'm talking about just the in the arena of what is the primary thing we do is, you know, we're storytellers.
Yes.
Our history
has been for all of time.
Our history is done by storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you go back constantly to what are considered to be history textbooks and find flaws in the history because the story is not it's everywhere, and it just made me really think deep thoughts.
I agree, sorry for these heavy deep thoughts,
but it's fascinating. It's fascinating to me when you think about
there
it.
There are things that have been lies that have been repeated so many times that they have become fact. And I'm guilty
of that. Give me an example of that.
I found out one this morning that blew my mind, is that they say, and they've always said this in all Disney literature and history.
Who's they?
Disney historians, people that document things about the Walt Disney Corporation and Walt himself. They say there is a rule at Disney World and Disneyland and all Disney properties that when you point... You point with two fingers, because if you were to point with one finger, it might be offensive to some cultures.
So the people that work there are taught to point a certain way, and it's not true.
I found out that they do that because Walt always pointed with two fingers, and they had to airbrush all of his cigarettes out because he was pointing with cigarettes in his hand. So that is a lie that has become fact. And to this day, everyone at Disney points with two fingers.
They train them to point with two fingers.
Yes, but
all
it's because
Walt
was
a chain smoker.
It killed him. Walt died of smoking.
That just is, I don't know.
And it's accepted, you know, it's because it's been said for so many years.
But it would be, I think the human... condition, and maybe all animals when you think about it. I mean, a lion that wants to
look at his name.
A lion that wants to take down a gazelle hides in the reeds.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Deceives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really deceives, but hides.
Yeah.
You know, because if they walked up and said, I don't know, my brain starts to hurt when I'm talking about this stuff.
A zebra once tried to sell me a bad insurance policy. And he insisted it was fine. Even the zebra was lying to me.
All right. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do.
And so at one point, when the guy's communicating with the alien, you mean, do you lie? He said, well, I think we all lie at a certain point.
Sure.
And there's this pause, and then the entity comes back and said, I don't believe that we can coexist.
Wow.
We're now afraid of you. That is because we cannot be trusted.
And then, but also...
It was fascinating.
That
deep
is
thoughts,
fascinating.
But cool.
You know? But you also have to then break down the lies. What if you tell someone they look nice when they don't look nice? Or it looks like something...
It's a lie.
It's a lie, but it's a lie that...
It doesn't matter. It's still dishonest.
Yeah, I guess it is.
But I mean, white lie is lying.
Isn't it even if it's done for the good of another person, though?
You can justify, I think many dishonesties have been justified throughout our existence. I'm not sure we can exist without it. I'm not sure that we can survive without it. I think that it is, I think there might be a lot more problems and we would be a lot more like animals if we didn't. I don't know. But these are the deep thoughts. There are books written about it. There are philosophers that talk about it. But it's interesting when you talk about other life forms, if they exist, and I'm a huge believer, based on the simple size of the universe, that that there would have to be. The thing that this program also demonstrates is the distances that have to be traveled because of the size of it. I tell you, you can tell I'm gassed by this show because it's just really interesting to me. And I have always felt that it would be so cool and so terrifying if we made contact, because you have no idea whether technology would go along with evolved, creatures.
Do you think that the other world would be terrified of us?
I don't know. I no one can know the answers to this. I think that when you talk about our solar system, they make a case for, it would be foolish for us to think that there were not other places that could sustain our type of life. Right. If there's one, and you talk about billions of galaxies, the idea of it. And it's deep thought, and it makes your brain hurt if you really think about it. But this show makes you go outside, look up at the sky, and think. And I think that's why. And by the way, it's called Three Body Problem, if you want to check into it. And it also is it's just such a part of our DNA that we do. If we're not bold-faced lying, everybody assumes lying is for evil purposes, but lying is, what is storytelling other than making something up?
It's making something up, yeah. Now you've got me wondering, Mike, if Bretsky doesn't really love me. Maybe that's a lie.
Now, you bring up Bretsky, the slot player.
Yes.
Have you heard more? Did you check Bretsky out?
No, but I was impressed by the amount of people that knew of Bretsky as I was skimming our social media.
Well, that's these guys that go in and roll the bones get a lot of followers. That's the way. Oz, have we heard from Gretzky? Do we Bretsky?
No,
Gretzky.
Wayne Bretsky.
These guys don't seem to respond a lot. They don't seem to. They seem to want to keep their thing. I think that's the impression I get.
It might be a thing for TikTok and not something he wants to go deeper into.
Okay. All right. So, that's cool. That's the way they roll.
Maybe there's just bad Wi-Fi in the casinos.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time on his TikTok yesterday.
Did you? So you checked out old Bretsky? Yeah. He's something else, isn't he? I'd like to be one of Bretsky's dudes following him into the casino. There's one Christmas one where he's really good to his people and they hit big.
It's a
Christmas one, and he breaks off a piece for all his pals.
That's nice.
Is fantastic.
The Bretsky Mafia.
And I have now, no idea how Bretsky gets his money. That's the primary reason I want to have these guys on.
That's why I spent time on there yesterday. I never found him winning.
Yeah. The thing that's great about these guys is that a lot of them will just show you when they're hitting the bricks.
Right.
When they're getting, as Vegas Matt would call, sandos on slot machines. It is.
Sando? Does that mean anything?
A sando is a slot term for a big nothing.
Oh, okay.
And so he has T-shirts and the whole thing. And maybe someday, if he ever deigns to come on the show, we can talk about it. The idea of showing only wins would be, I think, playing into the casino's hand. The idea of showing gambling in its naked form is what I enjoy, because it kind of gives me pause with my degenerate gambling. And I have to say, the habit for me is so strong, it doesn't matter if I watch them lose. My brain processes it this way. I watch these guys lose on slot machines.
Right.
And I said, well, if he's lost, that means that machine's probably ready to pay. Which it's not. It's completely random.
You are broken.
I'm not so broken that I've done it in any length of time.
I know.
But I've certainly brought it up, like, probably recently. Carly can talk about it. I think every other week I probably, hey, you want to go? You want to go? You want to?
Oh,
and
no.
We have no business going.
Yeah.
We really have no business going. For the love of God, I'm going to the needle doctor today to, you know, to beg for them to give me the shot and prorate it. Or what do they do when they move it to the next, where they bill you
post-date
down the road?
It. They post-date it.
Post-date it. They won't
so,
post-date
Mike, you
it. They,
get
they
your...
actually go on their website and say, we will not post-date a check.
You
they
get your, is it Medicare that you're waiting for? Is that what happens?
I'm waiting for my whole new insurance thing, which includes that.
So
I've got
Medicare kicks
program.
In on June 1st.
Advantage.
June 1st is when it kicks in?
June 1, yes.
That's a Saturday, you know.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're going to actually, I mean, it'll happen.
I have to wait till Monday the 3rd is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, but June 1st is when Medicaid happens, or Medicare happens. That's great.
Oh, God. I don't know. You know.
25 days, by the way.
25 days to stay alive. That's what it is. 25 days to stay alive. You know what? It's fine. Everything's going to be okay. I did have a moment. It seems that when I am seated, if I bend from the waist to pick something up, that is problematic. And that might be problematic for anybody, you know. I'm a little out of alignment. I might go see my my chiropractor.
You know
as
what
well.
Would be great is that you could play slots.
Yes, I could.
Pardon me. Bless
yes,
me.
Yes, I could.
And you know what? You wouldn't have to use it. Does anybody use the handle anymore? It's just Max, the button,
occasionally.
Right?
They still have them. I haven't been in a while, but I will tell you they have machines that have them and machines that don't. It's primarily a button. And the other thing is when you get what they do have, and I see a lot of my big-time gamblers on this, they have self-pay. Which is fantastic.
What is
now? You've hit a jackpot before, where you wait, where
you
wait the 9 hours,
they
stop you as soon as they. And now they got a thing where you can put a code in, and you have your account with them, and it puts the money right into your account.
Wow! So you never actually get to have the money; you just give it right back.
No, you can cash out. You can cash out with a ticket. You can.
Yeah,
as soon as you. No, you're making a controversy where there is none because you get the self-pay. You can get the self-pay and then cash out a ticket and then take it to the dispenser and get your cash.
Okay. But
don't make it sound like there's something hinky here.
There is something hinky because
in
days of old.
If you said, well, it just gets you back to the gambling quicker, that's what it does.
Sure.
Right?
You continue.
It's convenient for them to pour more money into the slot machine. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. It's all virtual money, and when you don't actually see it, you don't actually feel it. If you had a bucket of quarters, like the old days.
Old days, Rob.
I loved them. And you know what? You can say what you will, but we never had COVID back then. Now we got this clean stuff.
Because our immunity was built up by rubbing all those E. coli quarters that we were putting
in. So you get literally a movie theater popcorn bucket full of quarters. And when it gets that heavy, you know you've got money. But if it's a slip of paper, or God forbid it's just in your account, it's not real.
I would imagine that the very first slot machine that I won $250 on, which was all the money in the world to me at the time, was pissed out by quarters.
Yeah.
That's the way it was done.
1,000 quarters.
I'm like, look at this.
Well, they still have the sound. They still virtually generate that sound because it's
fun.
They
do. Well, and look, we all know that's how they get you, but the self-pay feature allows people that live vicariously through these people like me to watch them continue after they've had a hit. And if you are gambling, they call them hand pays. And hand pays are above
a certain... Oh, I thought that was something else.
A hand pay, well, you can get that in Vegas, too.
Yes, you can.
The hand pay is based on the amount of money that goes past the taxable level. Once it goes past that, it's a hand pay. That's it. That's all it is. It's the hand pay comes when you get over, I think it's like $1,500, and the government has to take its piece out. Then they come to you and they give you a...
Paperwork,
a
right?
A hand pay. They get the pay. But... You avoid it if I guess you pre-fill out your paperwork and do it.
I hate to bring up ancient history.
Yes.
But when we did our first trip to Iowa and you had a big hit in the casino out there and you called Carla and said, I just had a big hit. And then you proceeded.
Never forgotten that moment.
Well, it's sad because you gave it all back. Was that?
That's everybody gives.
But was that? But that was virtual, or was that with like actual quarters and stuff coming out?
That was virtual, probably. Okay. That was. Right. I remember there were tickets at
because that was 13-14 years ago. So this is nothing new.
The gambling story I tell that I was at a crap table. And this was after my first divorce. Mm-hmm. And during the holidays, I actually went out with a buddy because I was so distraught and flew Midway Airlines. Do you remember that airline, Midway?
It's a great one.
They flew from National Airport to Midway Airport in Chicago and then on to Las Vegas. And when we picked up the people in Las Vegas, a man threw up on the plane. Because obviously he was tuning up for his trip. But on that same trip.
Was it the pilot?
Trip,
you've never mentioned it, if it was the pilot or not.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm better
so
now.
What happened, I went to a crap table and I rolled and rolled and rolled. I think the number, if I remember correctly, was 74 straight rolls I had, which is a ton.
That's
a lot.
Huge.
And I'm talking about every number on the table, everybody. I made a ton of cash for a ton of people. For me, I made $2,500, which was another example of I thought it was fantastic. I only found out later that if I'd really known what I was doing, I could have made that $25,000,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I didn't. I didn't know.
But you and were then, a rube, and $2,500 is a lot now. It's a lot then. So you
it
did
was a lot
okay.
Then. And I ended up saying, "Okay, I'm done." I didn't
oh,
know.
No,
you don't stop.
No,
right, when you're on a roll like that. So they all like, "No, no, what are you doing?" The superstitions and the things like that.
Yeah,
that's how
yeah.
they get you. So well, I was trying, but the gambling stories are multifold, and it's interesting that these guys insulate themselves to a degree, and I probably understand why. I would imagine that there would be a fear of people putting the arm on them for some moolah. You know,
I would think so. Yeah, yeah. Now, are there craps players that put videos up too? I imagine every gambling.
Well, Bretzky has. They're, I think, a little bit more. They police people a little more with table games than they
sure.
do
yeah.
with the slots. In fact, they police people with slots. I don't know what the rules are because I've talked about it. The mm-hmm. fact that if I was to go into a casino with the followers that I have, it would be an interesting activity.
I've had people ask me to step away from the table when my phone is out.
You have.
Know, they don't like having phones in there.
Yeah, but they can just these people like Vegas Matt is, you know, has a TV production team, basically, when he goes into the...
He's got to be have some sort of alliance with the casino.
Well, I would imagine with the amount of money that he gambles in these casinos, I think they say, I'm not going to, you know, that's fine. I'll take my business elsewhere. And they said, no, you can go ahead and tape. But the average schmo... Now, Bretzky would be an example of the average guy that goes in there and quite often gets the they put the kibosh
right.
on him doing that. And you think, why? I know you're laughing. Why am I talking about him a second day when he isn't even?
You know what, Mike? You have totally motivated me to search out Bretzky today, and I think I'm going to like
God.
Him. I think I'm going to like him from what you say.
He appears to be. I don't want to cast aspersions on a guy, but he has what I would refer to as sleepy eyes. And sleepy eyes can be, well, we could put a video up of
Bretzky. Do you think it's druggy, sleepy eyes, or is it
no,
just
I initially did, and then I realized
innate.
He looks like this all the time.
Okay.
And that's the way he does it, and it's just the half eyes, which
yes.
he has, are part of his charm. That's what it is. And I realize I shouldn't obsess on these people. And
no,
I don't even
fine.
Know where they came. And I know there are millions of them out there, but they just come across my feed and very dark things have been coming about. We talked about our feed the other day.
Yes.
Very dark things as well.
Yeah.
Very, very dark things.
Well,
but
I think
also
that you're one step away from true darkness when you're following professional gamblers. I mean, you're gonna soon start getting videos of people getting their fingers broken.
Yeah, well, I get what I'm tending to get now is Viking executions.
What?
There's a scene that these two pretty ladies
yes.
are going to fight One has a sword, and the other one's carrying the sword, who looks like a princess. And then she says, "Then let me pass." And she lets it pass, and then the other lady shoots her in the back with an arrow. That's the one I watched.
And that's on your YouTube feed.
Most recently. Yeah. You know, it's dark. And I have become very aware of how dark it is.
It's dark when you're killing Vikings. But also, there's that weird bit of sexuality there that they're female Vikings. I don't know.
Oh, well, the one princess was turbo hottie.
Yeah,
absolute
of course.
Turbo hottie.
Yeah.
I check all the boxes there. And by the way, kudos to the Met Gala for the trend that the Met has now with women really moving almost all the way to total nudity. Yep. I am all for it. I think if you have got it, you flaunt it. So anything you wear, Emily Ratajkowski, I think I pronounced her name, or Rakowski, go for it. I think it's fantastic. I love seeing that. And that is the look at me culture that we have in the United States. And why not? Right? They raise a lot of money for charity. So I'm happy for them. I really
and
am.
Lots. Of, I mean, it's really becoming something. It used to be you'd have to wait to the next day to see pictures. Now they've got live coverage everywhere.
Well, that's
you can
the
watch
digital
these people
era.
That's a,
what, are you saying that's something special or
no,
what?
No, no. I'm saying that it's really turned into something. It used to be not as big of a deal as it is.
What did you watch last night? Because I can tell the days you come in here where you probably spent some time with Judy Garland or something.
No, last
like
night
that.
I watched most of Wait Until Dark.
That's an old movie.
1968, I think. It's a thriller.
You don't think that's an old movie?
Well,
you said like, it's not that old. It's 1968. Mike, that's an old movie.
Mike, it's in living color. So I give it that.
It's in living color, and I was also 9 years old when that movie was released.
And I also watched before that, I watched the first part of The Great Escape. And then I was talking
right,
with my mother.
This. Let me just say this. This is a request for me.
All right.
I don't ever think you will change your ways. Mm-hmm. And what you do at home is what you do at home. But I would implore you to, as we venture into this new phase of TMOS, to take the advice of Garth from Wayne and Garth.
Yeah,
Garth.
Yeah. Wayne's
and,
World.
There's something he says to Wayne. When they're looking at the guitars, do you
I know
remember
what, you're
what he
saying.
Says to
yeah,
what
live is, in what the now, say? Live in the now,
live yeah.
And Mike, many
but
hours
the same
of
time,
the day.
But at the same time, we've been together too long for me to have you stop being you. That's part of the ABCs of what you are. But I think that
and while
you,
Mike, just so you get the complete picture, while I was making dinner, I watched Horse Feathers with the Marx Brothers. So I watched. Black and white comedy from 1930 or so. I watched a pretty good war movie from the early 1960s and a suspense
film. What was
that?
Which was
The
that?
Great Escape. I watched an hour of The Great Escape.
That's a classic. Yeah.
And then Wait Until Dark. I watched most of it and I'll see the.
Can you tell us the plot? Tell our listeners the plot of Wait. And I believe it's got. Is that a one with. Is that like Mia Farrow or something like
well,
that?
Well, I mean, she's got that look. It's Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn,
and she
even
is
better than Mia Farrow.
Beautiful in this, but she plays
but she's
a blind,
blind
lady,
right? Okay, I remember
and,
it.
And there's
classic.
A doll with heroin hidden in her apartment, and she's blind. And her boyfriend, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr., is left her alone. And there is, oh, Mike, I forgot to tell you, one of the great henchmen that's in it is Jack Weston.
Jack Weston, really? The fat
she
Jack
is,
Weston?
She is
my Mercedes, that
she
guy.
Is terrorized as a blind lady alone in her apartment by Jack Weston, the great Richard Crenna, and Alan Arkin.
Wow.
And it's a great
it
film.
So Jack Weston's the villain?
Yes.
That's amazing.
He pretends to be a policeman.
Can you imagine casting him as the evil horror character?
Well, I mean he is he has a psychotic way about him with
and
those
eyes.
And
he's young, right? He's very young
of course,
in that movie.
Not the Incredible Mr. Limpet young, but still very young. And the great part about
even a
this,
reference, if you're talking about an old movie, a modern reference would be appreciated, but I know it's not going to happen. Listen, what you're watching is more valuable than what I sit there sometimes on my free time and wallow
stuff.
Away looking people playing slot. How pathetic is what I watch? How,
well, pathetic,
how
pathetic
and
is
useless
what I watch?
Is what, but, you know, I mean, we all have to meditate. We have
it's
to
what we like. And as soon as Carrie sits down, you know, after dinner and stuff, and we're going to watch something together, then I do go to Netflix or Amazon Prime and see what's current. And so I do watch current things, and oftentimes I'm disappointed. But, you know, I try to stay ahead of it. I watched the Jerry Seinfeld thing. You didn't watch that.
Yeah, but you reached out and said, watch it. You can't reach out and say, watch something because it's so bad, especially when, and one last thing about the magic box.
Yes.
So, I have to say that that the roast of Tom Brady had moments, but I couldn't get very far into it. And I think with all of those roasts, once you see Jeffrey Ross and once you see Nikki Glaser, there's really and I will give honorable mention to Drew Bledsoe, the predecessor to Tom Brady. But I am telling you, if I heard Kevin Hart one more time go, God, I mean, you got all the money in the world. You've got a fleet of writers. And I just, I mean, it was,
the common review I heard is, how did they Kevin manage Hart? Of the whole roast? And actually many of the roasts they put on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
It is, how do you squeeze 20 minutes of entertainment into 2 hours?
Yeah.
And that's basically what it is. It's very watered down. Now, if you ever
I would tell you, Nikki Glaser killed it.
Oh, she's so good.
Killed it and got a standing ovation at a roast. You don't see that very often, and she deserved it, which was great. Her material is just fantastic, and she is, and you don't see Jeffrey Ross get eclipsed at these things very often.
No,
but you know we've had Jeffrey Ross on the show. He's really fantastic, but it just at that point I've had my fill. And so it was a big bowl of meth. But Kevin Hart hosting, you have to get the rhythm of what a roast is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a roast is you don't get up and threaten the other roasters with ammo that you have against them because you don't want to get – he was so tone deaf, it was ridiculous. I didn't get it. It didn't make any
there
sense.
There are a couple – the roast started at the Friars Club, and they were never meant to be heard by the public. Mm-hmm. And the Friars Club was a showbiz organization. They had one in New York. They had one in Los Angeles.
Right.
And if you ever hear any of the old roasts, like bootlegs, you can find them. Yeah. They are such a different tone. And the Dean Martin roast, which NBC did as a way to fill a contract fulfillment, is sloppy and stupid. That ruined the flavor
terrible.
Of it. There's
that
no
ruined
intimacy.
The roast.
Yeah, that did ruin the roast. And now by
with all the cutaways of people laughing.
The roasts, the people weren't even in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
They just shot them piecemeal. So anyway, when they went to Comedy Central and now Netflix, their mindset is to make it into some sort of all-star gala.
Yeah.
But by doing that, you weaken the product. And
I
it's just, that's no good.
Big bowl of okay. We got to take a break. We will come back with the round table and more fun and more thrills. And don't forget, Saturday night, we'll be mentioning this a lot on the show today. That's the return of the cocktail party. Rob Spiewak approved.
Yes, of course.
It's been 3.5 years. We're going to be there. It's Saturday night, YouTube channel, our YouTube channel. Subscribe, ring the bell, and go to the live streaming event that we're doing Saturday, 7 p.m. We'll be right back, everybody. Let's talk about our friends at Legacy Box. Mother's Day is fast approaching. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is this Sunday, May 12th. It's a great gift for the whole family. You can relive moments like wedding days, first steps, the embarrassing haircut you had in the 90s, when I wore my cowboy boots on the outside of my jeans, Annie Oakley.
When I shaved the side of my head and grew the top of my hair long.
Very exciting.
Yes.
That wasn't the 90s, was it?
Yes, it was. Look at my wedding pictures. Looks like I have a liver sitting on my head.
Reconnect with your family's history. And remember grandma's and grandpa's voice again with digital storage. Those voices will never fade. Just send in your legacy box and you'll get everything back on the cloud or a thumb drive along with your originals. So easy. Legacy Box digitizes over 15 different types of analog media. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
I don't say this often, but I will say this with underlined and in boldface print. If you love this show, you will use Legacy Box because you benefit from it, and also it makes us look good. This is a great product. Please give it a try for Mother's Day. You will not be disappointed.
Whether it's VHS tapes, Super 8 film reels, photo negatives, they've got you covered. Thanks to Legacy Box, all of our family's histories can live on with digital clarity and no degradation. One of my mom's favorite gifts ever was a video I made about her life, and now, thanks to Legacy Box, I get to enjoy it forever. Join over 1.5 million families that have trusted Legacy Box with their memories. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 60% during their best Mother's Day sale ever. Legacybox.com/TMOS, everybody.
Hey, look at the Kraken. He has a liver on his head.
That's very a liver on your head.
It looks horrible.
Is that when you had the ponytail? Is that when you had the
ponytail? No. It was long hair on top, full of gel.
A fade.
But it wasn't a ponytail. And it really, when it was properly gelled and slicked back, it looked like a 45 RPM record on my head. It was horrible.
Congratulations. It was a beautiful look for you.
It was.
Looked good on you, though. We start today with Miss USA, if you care.
I love this country, Mike.
Noelia Voigt. No relation to John Voigt.
Good.
I have no idea if she's no relation. I don't know. But
no, her name might be Jolie if he's related to Voigt.
She is relinquishing her crown to focus on her mental health. I don't know if she had a breakdown or what, but in a statement she said, quote, "Never compromise your physical and mental well-being. Our health is our wealth." She added, quote, "My journey as Miss USA has been incredibly meaningful, representing Utah with pride and later the USA at Miss Universe. Sadly, I have made the very tough decision to resign from the title of Miss USA 2023. Well, I would imagine they're having 2024 pretty soon, right?
It's a good time to resign.
She also hopes to, quote, "continue to inspire others to remain steadfast, prioritize your mental health, advocate for yourself and others by using your voice, and never be afraid of what the future holds, even if it feels uncertain." She won her title last September, so it hasn't been that long.
Right.
Miss USA is currently working on plans to crown her successor, first runner-up Savannah Gankiewicz of Hawaii. She has been offered the title, but there's no word on whether or not she has accepted. But she made the deal, right? If anything should happen, right, that's the way they roll with that one.
Mike,
right?
If you would, I know it's more of a Miss America thing, but will you favor us with the story of your mother-in-law and Burt Parks?
There she is.
I am marriage number one, ladies and gentlemen. I am outside of Annapolis, Maryland, in a trailer. I am dining with my new in-laws, or potential in-laws. I think they were the new in-laws. I'm pretty sure they were. I think we were married already, but I don't know. Don't hold me to it.
That's
Remember,
fine.
That's the human condition. We tell stories and we try to... But I know I was sitting in the trailer, and we the Miss America pageant happens to come on. And my either current or future mother-in-law says, as she's looking at Burt Parks hosting, and knew that I was in broadcasting, she made a connection between broadcasting what I was doing at 81 WYRE and what Burt was doing, and said something I will never forget. "Look at that man, Mike. He's got a good job."
Walking on air, she is. Fairest of the fair.
Mike, that's one of my favorites.
I said, "Thank you. Miss America."
The late Burt Parks.
There he is.
You showed them all, Mike. You outlived Burt Parks.
If you want to see Burt Parks in a movie, I recommend you get the Matthew Broderick movie. The Freshman with Marlon Brando and Burt Parks. Great movie. Great
really
old
fun.
Movie to check out. And you'll see Burt Parks, who is featured in the dining room scene. There you go.
He sings Tequila.
Tequila, that's it. Absolutely. Jon Stewart has no patience for supposed anti-woke comedians and pundits who complain about what they can and can't say anymore. I am with you, John.
Of course.
Man, oh man, I am so sick of that. During his performance at the Netflix Is a Joke Festival, he said, quote, "The people who talk about anti-woke are the biggest effing wussies you would ever find. I'm just so tired of it," he says. "The woke crap. You lose nothing. I'm a comedian. I've lost two words in 35 years. Honestly, are you that effing unimaginative that you can't figure it out?" Stewart also took aim at liberals who don't like him pointing out President Biden's age. I've done that and taken crap for it.
Yeah.
Here's his quote. "I know You know how effing old he is, and I know you don't want to say it because Trump is so scary, but he's so effing old. Okay, that's true.
It is
true. I love Jon Stewart. He does the thing when he's talking about cookies that made my jaw unhinge. Just because you're saying that Biden's old doesn't mean that the other guy is immediately going to get the office.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. Jon Stewart by the way, is such a good guy and so plugged in.
I mean, Jon Stewart rocks. He's an American treasure, in my humble opinion. So
I agree.
There's that. Now, one of the things that's coming out of the roast of Tom Brady that I am hearing about, and I looked at video. I looked at some still shots, and I understand what they're saying. Sunday night, Ben Affleck made an appearance because he's a Boston guy and he's a Boston sports fan. People were quick to point out online that he looks like he may have gotten plastic surgery. One person joked on Twitter that he's, quote, hard launching a new face. And another said he's fresh from a facelift. One person even called it melty looking. I think they're overdoing it. I looked at it. I didn't get the greatest replay on it this morning when I was checking it out, but it does appear that the jaw might be thrust out too much. He was compared to Curious George and Bruce Springsteen a three-day bender. I didn't think he looked that bad.
I saw the pictures, and I think if it's not plastic surgery, it's just him not having a good time. It looked like had resting bitch face is what it looked like
Ben
to me.
Ben Affleck always has resting bitch face.
Yeah, so I mean,
I think Ben Affleck had resting bitch face before J-Lo, too. I think Ben Affleck, that's his state where when he's not on camera, he's got resting bitch face. What do you want him to grin all the time? Come on.
And why are we giving a free pass to Brady, who now looks so tight, I'm not even sure he could wiggle his eyebrows? I don't know what's going on with him.
I think that celebrities more than other people, they got to do what they got to do. If you overdo it, you get bitten in the ass. There are people that are out there that have done it, and you don't even talk about it. And you know why? That's because their surgeons are so talented.
They go to the good ones. Yeah. But you don't see people bitching about Carrie Spiewak.
But if you don't see her on camera that much, Rob.
I do.
You see it with your two eyes.
Well, no, Mike, what I have are surveillance cameras all around the house so I can keep an eye on it.
Surveillance, you mean, or surveillance?
I like saying surveillance. I learned that from Mr. Liddy.
Thank you. We have two rock star wipeouts to cover today. You got these in your
because the audio wasn't that great and the video wasn't that great. I saw them, but they were all
right. Vince Neil, I saw it. Vince Neil face planted during Motley Crue's gig in Atlantic City on Friday. The thing that I noticed about it is he did the Mike O'Mara fall.
Which
and
is
that
what?
Is the fall. That is trip, step, 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 fall. Trip, try to catch yourself, and then fall.
Were there roots on the stage?
You mean the band?
No, I mean tree roots, because I know they can be pesky.
No, but obviously there were cables or a step. I mean, he fell, and he fell face forward. Meanwhile, Pearl Jam kicked off their tour in Vancouver on Saturday, and it seems like guitarist Mike McCready hadn't familiarized himself with the stage layout because he fell off of it. But he kept on jamming, and after Rody helped him back up, he went on with the show. They both went on with the show. It wasn't that big of a thing. But that fall is... I have to say it's core strength involved when you trip forward. By the way, do you have your powder light on today? Do you have did you make your little adjustment that you normally make?
I actually had a pre-show meeting with Oz. He said I wasn't glowing, but I can adjust if you like.
Don't worry about it. But anyway, they both fell, and one of them reminded me of me because falling is a thing you worry about in your advanced age.
Sure.
If you're a caring man who knows how to build a lean-to shelter, you might be offended by this. And if you are, tough tease. Have you seen the man or bear question? That's been super viral on social this week.
I have, actually.
Someone asked a woman, or asked women in general, would you rather be alone in the woods with a bear or with a man?
Mm.
Presumably, a man you don't know. If you search TikTok, you'll find a million videos, like one where the guy asks eight women on the street, and seven of them say a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of women are defending guys and saying it's a ridiculous question that's not really being answered honestly, but it sparked a huge discussion on how safe or unsafe women feel around men in general. But it's a stupid question because the bear would eat you. That's what I have to
say. And they don't ever, they're not specific if the man or the bear, if either one of them has a picnic basket.
No, but I mean, it's dumb.
No, right? It is dumb. I mean, it is dumb.
But I get it. It's a man you don't know in the woods out there that's going to, try to have relations. Lusty outdoor relations with you. That's what
I think. Could the bear also be in search of relations, though? I mean, there's many details here.
I think you are more likely to have that kind of relationship with a wolf.
Hey, now, look out.
I don't know what I'm doing. I let's move on. Finally today, a travel site called 1 Mile at a Time did a big write-up.
I live there, Mike. It's a great site.
1 Mile at a Time, how to poop on planes and the ideal time to go. Now, with this said,
yes.
I am trying to think, and maybe one time if it was really, but I don't think so. I had the most painful gastrointestinal problems when I was on a small jet, and I still didn't go. I don't think I have ever gone number two on an airplane.
Once.
I don't think I... You did once, and you remember
once.
It.
Because and because, Mike, do you remember when we lived... When we were traveling to and fro New York, we stayed in a hotel called the Park Central. That was a magnificent hotel 70 years ago.
No, it wasn't. You hated it.
70 years ago, it was fine, though.
Sure.
But when we lived there, it was horrible. And there was a little cafe, part of the Park Central, that was sometimes open. And one time I went there for breakfast... before the show, and
right.
Got bagels and lox, one of my favorite treats in New York City. And the salmon turned out to be bad. And, it takes about...
salmon mousse.
Turns out to be about 4 hours for food poisoning to kick in. So
right.
I made it through the show. I made it to LaGuardia, Fiorello LaGuardia Airport. Got on the
Fiorello.
Plane, and I heard...
So you did. Yeah,
I had
emergency.
To.
Medical emergency.
And they should have had an airline-styled seatbelt on that toilet.
You had a little rough air while you were
it
in there?
It was nasty. And then again in the airport when I got out. But it's, never eat at the Park Central Cafe.
First of all, my philosophy, and I believe Rob's too, and what he's just said to you, it was absolutely essential. It was necessary.
Yes.
Otherwise, I do not believe. You use everything in your power not to do that because it's a small space. But if you have to... the ideal time, if you don't want to feel rushed and you don't want to stink it up, then you find a line of people outside. Here's the advice. The worst times to go are just after takeoff, right after they serve food, and right before you land. They're all high traffic times for airplane lavatories. Makes total sense.
Yeah,
that's logic. The best time to go is just before they start serving food for three reasons. This is valuable.
I see
what they're saying here, and I get it. Number one, other passengers will be in their seats so they don't miss food and drinks. Number two, the crew won't be in the galley to hear you punishing that poor bowl.
How? That's sad.
If you're making noises. Number three, once the carts are in the aisles, people can't use the bathroom. So it's your best shot at having no one waiting outside.
That's
perfect sense.
Very smart. That's very smart.
You see them starting to roll it out, and you slide in front of them, and you go up to the front, and you do that. Here's some other tips. And this is for any toilet that's public. Or anywhere, really, even in your own home. Flush as soon as you go. Then again when you're done. Maybe multiple times. I'm a multiple flusher.
It's called a courtesy flush.
Yeah. It's a courtesy flush. And multiple courtesy flushes, something that I urged the junkies to practice again and again and again when we worked at WJFK.
Didn't land, did it?
Here's another tell. Use a ton of soap when you wash up. Most planes have foaming soap, which is a stronger scented soap, so it almost acts as an air freshener.
That's smart. That's smart.
Isn't that a good thing?
Do they have any mention in that article about as soon as you're seated in first class breaking wind?
Don't do that. That'll hurt you. That'll hurt your bowels. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We appreciate that. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to tell you the way I want to live.
Oh, good.
I'm in this game for another 5 years or so. I've said that to a lot of people. You never say
podcasting
never.
Podcasting or life?
Podcasting and life. I'm going to die when it's over. We'll be right back, everybody. If you have some killer ink, I just found out about an awesome new product, our new sponsor, Mad Rabbit. Mad Rabbit is committed. Let me try that again.
Yes.
Mad Rabbit is committed to reinventing tattoo aftercare. Mad Rabbit creates simple, effective, and natural products that help improve and preserve tattoos, all delivered directly to your door. It was founded by two friends who love tattoos. Their hero product, the Tattoo Bomb, revitalizes, replenishes, and preserves tattoo ink, ladies and gentlemen, with clean and natural ingredients.
Look at this, Mike. I got this 4 years ago, and it still looks brand new. It's my purple TMOS.
Did you just write that on your arm?
Let's move on.
Sunscreen, soothing gel. It's wonderful. Now is the time to try out Mad Rabbit. Got it right here. Here's your Mad Rabbit. This is Defend SPF 30. It's wonderful stuff. They've preserved over a million tattoos, and they've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use promo code TMOS25, you'll receive 25% off. Pay attention. That's a different code. 25% off when you head to madrabbit.com/TMOS25 and use our promo code TMOS25. Thank you. Very nice. Very clever. I like it when you bring visual aids into the show. You had said during our pre-show meeting today that I have noticed online, as far as the medications that that we even sell on this show and the weight loss medication that's helped me so bad, there are tons of stories and information out there, some of it accurate, some of it not. You said there is a new thing about Ozempic side effects. I mean, I hear this all the time.
Now, are you actually on Ozempic, or are you on one of the things?
I am on tirzepatide, which is similar to a product called Mounjaro. I am not on the... That is semaglutide, the Ozempic.
I'm just curious if you've gotten the symptom. I see you every day, and I don't think you have. This comes from the Daily Mail. It's called Ozempic breasts. And some women that are on Ozempic have seen, despite the weight loss, have seen their breasts balloon.
Now, this is disinformation. I believe this. I think that a lot of these products have been around for a long, long time. And when you're involved in these and you promote these, as I do, and you're on it because you want to find out what's true and what's not, you realize how much, you know, mung is sent out there into the sphere and trying to get people to feel weird about it. The latest one was the depression and suicidal. How many medications in their disclaimer said may have suicidal thoughts?
And I think that's them covering their ass. But Mike, this is referred to by doctors as unpredictable Ozempic breasts. How exciting is that?
That sounds really technical. Sounds really technical. You know, Dr. Seymour Heine, from Vancouver, Canada, has said Ozempic breast. Now, listen, and it also is now when it's going to be a problem if you get, don't they call that gynomastia when men get breasts?
I believe,
isn't that,
Mike,
what it's called?
Yes, excellent. Yeah.
How about me remembering that?
And why you remember it, I have no idea. But
well,
that's
I don't suffer from that, and I've been on the product for about a year. I've been almost a year of on this, and I have not had any. But you're saying it's ladies only? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're saying that it is ladies only, and it could be an optical illusion because as you lose weight, the breasts are going to look bigger. Which makes me want to ask you: have you benefited from Mounjaro penis?
I have, look, it is known, and you know this as well.
I do.
That when you lose weight down there, of course, because, you know, the let me see if I can give a medical description.
Please, Dr. Heine.
The stomach bone's connected to the crotch bone, and the crotch bone's connected to the wiener bone. The wiener bone, when you lose.
That's not how the song goes.
When the stomach bone's connected to the crotch bone and the crotch bone connected to the wiener bone. No, when you, anybody that's lost a lot of weight, I'm not telling you anything different here.
Right.
Men, I'm speaking to you. When you lose weight in your tummy, beneath your tummy is what I would call the crotch, the V.
Included in the omentum?
I don't think it is, but I think that
I know what you mean when you say the V.
But when you see, for example, who would be? I saw this just the other night. I saw an old clip of Jackie Gleason with his first appearance on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yes, I've
And he's seen wearing a very nice suit, but when he sits, the crotch area of his suit is, and you get a good look at what I'm talking about, which is tummy comes down to the belt line in most cases.
Yeah.
Some guys that are fat will tuck their belt under their gut, and you'll see their gut. And still, down below the belt, you've got a little fat.
Yeah,
there are a variety of names for this area of the body.
I think it's good to call it the V. I think people understand it when you call it the V.
When you lose weight in your tummy, you sometimes lose weight in the V as well.
Yeah, mine is more of a W. Is that a problem?
Please, please don't make me throw up today.
Actually,
please.
It might just be a U.
Please. Okay. I am now fighting with every fiber of my being,
yes,
to not picture you. I'm just trying right now.
Mike, just picture the guy on the game Operation.
No, that's okay. I can handle
Okay,
that.
Good.
When you lose weight down there, you lose weight down there.
Yeah,
and the only place you don't lose weight would be the muscle, right? And I don't believe that that Tinkletown is affected in any way by body fat. But the area around Tinkletown is dramatically affected by body fat.
Exactly.
So when you lose the weight, this should probably be brought up on the bonus show, but I'll say it here.
Okay.
I have on now multiple occasions shared the good news with Mrs. O'Mara because I'm very happy with, you know, and that's why when you see fat people naked in a movie or something, they appear to have the mushroom.
Yeah, you're right.
Whereas thin people, you know, it shows up more. Like, for example, the most recent movie that I saw would be Saltburn. And you see him, he's a thin guy.
He sure
is. Flapping around in the breeze like you wouldn't believe, you know, bouncing all. Not even
I doubt
sure
he took Ozempic, though. He was on something else.
I don't know what he was on, but no, it's hanging, Rob. But you know, you can
good
still.
Good for you.
All right, we're done talking about the penis. Thank you. Let's take a break.
All right, Mike. It is unpredictable Ozempic penis.
God Almighty, help me.
Inflation, I thought that went well.
Inflation has affected us all, but I am going to share with you an inflation bit of news that makes me want to barf. I called it obscene. I meant it. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Lectric e-bike. With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Well done, Rob. It's great that we have the technical prowess to hold up a picture that you have printed off of your printer.
I didn't just print up a picture. This is a thank you note to Terry Hinks Ledich, who bought Lectric e-bike and used our code. Thank you, Terry. She is loving it, having a blast.
Thank you. You got me.
Pictures
got
are me always nice, but that's not the reason I held it up.
Never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Lectric e-bike ships free and only requires quick toolless assembly. You got me there, Mr. Scholarship Winner.
I didn't mean to get you. I was just showing it.
Lectric has e-bikes that start at just $799 with XP, the XP Lite. You can save on gas, parking, and maintenance. And financing starts as low as $49 per month. Plus, data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often, meaning more exercise, exploration, and fresh air.
Yes.
Go full throttle into spring with Lectric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at lectricebikes.com. And please mention that the Mike O'Mara Show sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's Lectric ebikes.com. So, you know that we...
I was looking for more pictures, Mike. I'll have more for you tomorrow. I just don't have any handy.
Very exciting. I wanted to see what's his name too, you know, during the show with the sad eyes, Bretzky. But
Bretzky, yeah.
By the way, I'll be doing it. There's no reason I can't do it on my end as well. We're gonna work on that.
That's true.
Lots of growth coming up. Getting back to what I wanted.
I had Bretzky But you moved on and changed subjects. I didn't want to pull you back.
Oh, okay, that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that he's on it, ladies and gentlemen.
He is?
He is on it.
If he's telling the truth.
Well, he's human.
He is. I don't think I can have a relationship with him.
Carla has indicated, since we lost Frankie, that Winslow appears to be a little lonely, and I would pretty much agree. I can tell there's a change in the behavior.
Yeah.
And the
dynamic
reason,
changes, right?
I think it does. And and you have two dogs in your house. And
well, we had to give Sebastian back yesterday.
But when he's around, you know what it's like.
It is. It's a big
Does Linus
huge.
Get a little sad when he goes?
I could absolutely see it yesterday. Yes.
I can tell
100%.
Too. So, Carla, you know, has been making noise about another dog, and I'm like, okay. And there are two ways I think about this. Number one is it's the upkeep and maintenance of the hound dogs. You know, we are right now a nice, balanced little trifecta. It's Carla, it's me, it's the dog, and then it's the reptile that I exclusively take care of.
Right.
There is no one in this house that lifts a finger for that, including dealing with snake diarrhea more than I do. Okay, so I'm
the
guy.
Wasn't it the little prince's? But the snake was originally to be the pet of the little prince, right? And he doesn't do anything.
He
for
wanted
it?
A snake, and I got him a right. snake, and he hasn't gone near it. That's why it's
Classic
in my studio
kids.
In the garage.
Right.
Oz is coming down here to do some studio work soon, and he'll see it. I'll. Hey, Oz, do you want to? When you come down here, do you want to? Do you want to see the feeding?
No. I have no desire for anything with the snake.
Okay. You know what? You can say no to seeing the feeding, and you might end up seeing it anyway. Sometimes Mike makes you watch the feeding.
No, I didn't.
I assume it doesn't matter what I say.
You are quite right.
I won't. I promise I won't do that anymore. It upset. It traumatized Rob. Rob has PTSD from it. He really does. So Carlos talked about getting a puppy. She goes to the local pet shop before she picks Michael up.
And the big one? The big one that I went to?
Yeah, that one. I believe that's okay. The one. It may have been another one. I'm not sure which one
was
at. But she FaceTimes me, a boxer and a French bulldog.
Boxers are beautiful dogs.
And so are Frenchies. I love little Frenchies. Michael stayed overnight at a kid's house, and their mom, Vanessa, showed me their Frenchie. Cute little dog. Love the dog. So there's that, and then she lays on me. And everybody knows who's looked at dogs. Would you like to know what they want for a French bulldog?
I'm horrified to know. I'm horrified to know, but please tell me.
$3,900.
No, I forbid it. When there are dogs out there to be rescued, beautiful, wonderful dogs to be rescued.
They charge you for rescues too, but they don't charge you $3,900.
You don't pay $3,900, and you're saving a life.
$3,900. And they said it's a sale. When did this flip? When exactly did this flip? I know that I bought Frankie over on the other side of Florida. Another puppy mill dog. Sorry, I probably shouldn't get him there, but I don't know if it's a puppy mill or not. I think they're regulated. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't want to get into the whole PETA thing. But I will tell you that when did this get to be north of $1,000 and then almost $4,000? Are you essing me? What is going on? To go to your house and get a shed and breed dogs?
Mike, what have we always said? Something's only worth as much as something as someone will pay for.
That's it. And people are paying these prices.
And it's ridiculous. And you know what?
Could it be down here where the little old ladies are down here, Rob? Could it be that?
Sure.
Is it up there where you guys are?
I'm sure it's up here too. If you look for it, if you want that sort of hoity-toity pedigree, and then there's people that are buying their non-allergenic, hypoallergenic dogs that they pay a premium for. But Linus was a rescue. Sebastian was a rescue. Best dogs in the world. You pay 1/20th of what you would to buy a dog. And a dog is not a status symbol. You don't need a purebred dog to have joy.
The same time, you have to understand certain dog breeds, you research and you hear about their temperament and you hear about their look. And I don't think that the alternative should be you either get a rescue dog, or you get and by the way, rescues can be purebreds also. I should
of course,
point that out.
Yeah, and there you can actually go to
golden retriever rescues, standard poodle rescues, a lot of rescues. But at the same time, I'm not going to let the people off the hook because people can go to a shelter and adopt a dog. I'm going to say you should be. You're right. People are going to pay it.
If they pay it, it's going to happen. And that's so the problem is the people. And what people need to know also, and I've known this because I've
grown up. She looks at me last night and she says, I think I'm going to get. I said, don't worry. When she says, don't worry about it, that means
you got it.
Funneling our funds somewhere where I'm not going to find them. And, you know, the woman, God knows, the woman's propping me up financially right now so she can do whatever she wants. But it's a little freaky. It really
all dogs are a product of their environment. If you bring a dog into your house, especially a puppy, raise it right, give it love, walk it, feed it, give it what it needs, it's going to be a great dog, regardless of its
breed. Yeah, but I don't want to bring a dog in that's got warts.
Well, that you, Mike, you look at it
before
you bring
it in. I mean, you like that beagle hybrid look. You know, I understand.
Well, no, I mean, one of the dogs is that. I mean, but look at Sebastian.
Well, what was Sebastian? Isn't he like a beagle, pit bull, lab?
No, you know, he's a big lab mix with a hound. I think he was a lab hound mix. Okay. And he big dog.
They're fine. A dog is a dog. If you love your dog, you love your dog.
Yeah.
I'm fine with all dogs. What I'm not fine is price gouging. And I believe someone should bust out an inflationary study. And let's go back to 1986. Reasonable time. Let's go back to 1984.
Okay.
Let's go back. Let's go back to 1984.
Loved it. Yes.
And we will see what they cost then to get a puppy, and we'll see what it costs now. It's absurd. It's
Mike,
obscene.
You know who I blame? I blame Big Dog.
Big Puppy.
Big Puppy, exactly.
Big Puppy, which, by the way, is my new radio nickname. We have to take a break.
What, the Urban Show. Station?
Yeah, Big Puppy. Big Puppy, homie. I'm woke.
Yeah, you are woke.
We'll take a break. I'm woke. Yeah, my name is Big Puppy. I was a Boston Red Sox designated hitter. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got more fun and more thrills because we've got the flip side, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Welcome back. All right, listen up. Why do I say welcome back? I still can't get out of that habit.
That's fine.
Hey, time to discover the transformative power of DermGlowSkin.com for weight loss. Witness the results yourself. I have shed over 80 pounds, and it never felt better. DermGlowSkin. Oh, today's the day, too. Injection day.
Nice.
Not election day. Injection day. DermGlowSkin. Yeah, I'm not kidding you. We do say that in the O'Mara household. Carly gets it out. I give it the shot. And,
does that have to do with the side effect of your...
No, stop it. Stop. God, Rob, shut up. Selling stuff here. DermGlowSkin.com streamlines weight loss management effortlessly. Simply take a quiz, consult with a doctor, and have your weight loss medication delivered directly to you. No insurance needed. Once you begin, expect continuous medical support. I don't know if it's just me, but I look forward to giving myself the shot. I do. I really do. Clinically proven ingredients, tailored care, all supplies included, so you can start immediately. Don't hesitate. Isn't it time to shed up to 26% of your body weight? I'm living proof that it works. Stop the food noise. Reclaim your true self. Get excited and reach out to Carla for any inquiries. She's dedicated to assisting you. I hear her almost nightly talking to people and giving them the down low on these wonderful products. DermGlowSkin.com. Let's go.
Hello.
Flip side.
Well, how about the flip side?
Mike, I know you follow Richard Simmons religiously. Do you check
I love
in,
the man.
Do you check in on his YouTube page?
I don't have the pleasure. I'm sorry.
Okay. By the way, not that it matters, but we also have a YouTube page where we'll be streaming a live show this Saturday.
7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the return of the TMOS Cocktail Party this Saturday, May 11th, 7 p.m. Eastern. We're all meeting up on YouTube. This is an additional free live streaming show for everybody, so please arrive thirsty. Introducing Mike's Birdie Juice. We'll tell you more about that when you get here. But
we haven't done a live stream in a long time. Now, the show is live to tape.
Little bitty shot glass.
But
teeny tiny shot
glass. On Richard Simmons' YouTube page, he hasn't posted anything for 10 years until yesterday. He posted a message. Now, he's been sort of in the news because of that Pauly Shore movie.
But he's also been a recluse, according to everything you read in here.
To my ears, maybe it's just me, the fact that the only image we see is a cartoon of him, a static cartoon drawing, I think this is AI Richard Simmons talking to us. I want your opinion.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Hi, everybody. It's Richard. Happy May 6th, 2024. Thank you so much for reading my messages. Roses are red, violets are blue. Do you know how much I love you? Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.
That's, what do you think? A whole bunch of nothing. Sounds like him, but AI voices are the real person's voice. So I think totally plausible that, yes, it is Richard Simmons' voice, and yes, it was generated by someone else to put up there because it says absolutely nothing. It's almost like somebody was playing with AI before they posted that. Don't
and
you agree?
Also, I agree, and also he was very specific about saying the date, like to say, this is today. And for the first post in 10 years... I just have to wonder, is it someone in his camp that that's the way they have access to his YouTube page? Or is it,
what
is
I would
it something nefarious?
Is that we'd get the real Richard, but he would look like Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. Lit the same way, same shaved head, the horror. I would
want him, Mike, if he came, I would like him to look like Marlon Brando, but in the Island of Dr. Moreau.
That's
with
that
the
is
big the biggest, white suit.
That's the biggest Marlin, I believe.
That is. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he would have also with him a miniature Richard, like a mini.
This is the, I just want to say I am. I've been a recluse, but I've come forward. This is Richard Simmons. I love you.
Do you want me to lose weight, Richard?
Please lose weight. Feel good about yourself. There you go.
What happens when I move all the cards from the left side to the right side?
I don't know that joke.
Oh, you're done eating for the day.
Oh, that's right. It's deal meal. Thank you for the reference. I finally picked up on it.
All right, Mike.
Green ones are the vegetables.
Guess who has a hit record on TikTok?
Who would that be?
Kim Jong-il.
Really?
Yes, he
is this
put
AI
out.
AI also?
No, it's real. This is a song they play in North Korea, and it talks about what a great guy he is. But it's catchy, and some people call it.
Is he singing it?
No, but he. It's all about him, and some people say it low key slaps. Here's a little news story and a clip of the record.
North Korea's dictator has become an unlikely TikTok star following the release of his new song. Friendly father. Kim Jong-un is
said to
play the propaganda anthem to his citizens each morning. It's attracted the attention of TikTokers who seem unaware of the song's lyrics, which include the lines like warm-hearted like your mother and benevolent like your father. It's been described as a bop by some, one calling it so dystopian in the catchiest way. Have a listen.
Here's the song.
Scary.
It is. Make no mistake,
Rob,
that's no different than what Hitler did.
Rob, I would like that to be the new Mike O'Mara show theme.
Oh,
really would.
I
would
I
like
have
that
more
music.
Of the song, Mike, if you want to
Could
hear
I hear
it.
Some more of
yes,
the song?
Of course.
Yes, thank you very much. Everybody's happy.
They love it.
Friendly Father was released on April 19th. That has that Soviet sound to it. Says the song calculated to feed state propaganda.
Mike, it sounds like ABBA to me. I'm sorry. It does.
Way to go. And it's not Kim Jong-il, Rob. It's Kim Jong-un.
Forgive me. And then is also
okay.
There's his. He has a dim-witted brother. Did you know that? Kim Jong-W-un.
The man has jokes. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Mike, I will tell you this. Jon Bon Jovi is all over the place because he has a documentary on one of the streamers.
Gray
I've always liked
Jon Bon Jovi.
What's that?
Gray-haired Jon
Bon Jovi. Oh, yeah. Mature. Jon Bon Jovi, but still dreamy. I thought he's a fine musician. I've never been a big Bon Jovi guy. A couple great records.
Fine.
But his career, I think this is nice. He literally credits his success as a musician to a disc jockey.
And I said, who's the loneliest man in the music business? The DJ. There was a new radio station in New York City.
W-A-P-P.
W-A-P-P. And fortunately for me, a young guy by the name of John Lastman and a guy named Chip Hobart, who was the DJ on the air, played him Runaway, and he said, that's a hit song. But the miracle of miracles happened. Doubleday, the book publisher, they owned 8 radio stations in some big markets. They started playing Runaway on all 8 stations.
And all of a sudden, from getting turned down by every record company, we were the most requested song.
Isn't that great?
The fact that is that a cool story. That's like a rags-to-riches story. And back in the day, that's the way it was. And of
it reinforces the power of the disc jockey in that time.
Well, it was abused also. I mean, should be very, very well known that it was abused. But back in the day, not sure it really even exists anymore in the modern age. But, you know, you'd have what were called record ducks that would come to radio stations with a series of records that they'd try to get you to play, and they'd play them for you, and you'd talk about them, and then if you liked them a lot, you'd put them on, and then you'd record the fact that you put them on, and you'd put it on a trade publication, and that's how Billboard was. It was an interesting time, but there's still a variation of it. It's just not like the good old days.
True, but I love the fact that there was a time in the not-so-distant past that the disc jockey could make a difference. And let's close with this today. Mike, did you hear about the priest that was arrested by using church funds to play Candy Crush?
No, I did not. There's a priest down here that's been locked up for other reasons that are the typical priest.
Yeah, well, this guy, he liked his video games.
A Catholic priest in Pennsylvania was arrested recently after he allegedly charged more than $40,000 for mobile games on his church's credit card. Oh, so that's what a priest has to do to get arrested.
There you go.
Stay
fits
away
into
from
my
that
narrative
action.
Right, yeah, there. Yeah, we does. Had a man. We had a guy, looked like Burl Ives just up the road, I think in Port Charlotte or Punta Gorda, that got locked up. Creep. Anyway, hey, that's wonderful, Rob. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
We need. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Well, then, fine again.
We got to get out of here. And don't forget, this coming Saturday, we want to get a gang of people to stop
by. Yes, please.
7 p.m. Eastern, we're all meeting up on YouTube. An additional free live streaming show for everybody. Please arrive thirsty. Mike, Rob, Oz, and a few surprise guests. Plus, new ways to get involved directly with the show. And introducing my birdie juice. We'll tell you all about that when you get
wait.
Here. That's this coming Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. For Rob Spiewak and also Josh Soroka, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I don't like spam!
We don't make mistakes. We have happy accidents.
It is all fun and games until someone gets herpes.
What the flip was Grandma doing at the sand dunes?